The last time I left the United States on an international congressional delegation tour was 2011. A lot of my colleagues travel more often, but I travel when I think it very definitely involves the country or the state of Iowa. So this week we did it for trade reasons. So I traveled part of a congressional delegation to China and South Korea with four other senators, Daines, Johnson, Perdue, and Sass. A full schedule, as you can see. In China, we went to these cities, Shenzhen, Hangzhou, Beijing, Shenwan, and Dandong. South Korea, we went to Seoul and to the DMZ. In China, we met with provincial and national government leaders to discuss issues of importance to the two countries, particularly trade, intellectual property, national security, and defense issues. We also met with business executives of Chinese companies, including those in e-commerce, as well as representatives of many businesses based in the United States and elsewhere doing business in China. Ambassador Branstad participated in five of the six meetings held in Beijing. A major challenge for the United States is how to address the multiple non-tariff trade barriers working against our interests when so often they occur in ways that do not technically trigger World Trade Organization rules, even while violating the spirit of the level playing field sought by the World Trading Organization. I will be addressing these issues with senators on the trip and those that weren't on the trip through the Senate Finance Committee, which has jurisdiction over trade policy. I'll also be addressing these issues as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is responsible for patent, copyright, and trademark policies. Regarding trade with Chinese officials, these officials were interested in addressing our trade issues through more dialogue. They expressed a desire to work together to seek solutions to our differences. At one meeting, I told the Chinese representatives that we've talked long enough. They know what to do. They just ought to do it to make things right. With respect to national security issues, the Chinese officials were concerned with the United States continuing its One China policy. They very much resent anything we have to do with Taiwan. That was the major issue with the One China policy. We agreed with that policy and stressed the importance of denuclearization of North Korea. The Chinese expressed support for denuclearization of North Korea as well. We agreed that strengthening interactions between Chinese and American legislative branches would be beneficial to solving these problems. We stress ongoing discussions between the two nations would be beneficial to finding those solutions. In South Korea, we met with national leaders to discuss national security and defense issues. We stressed our ongoing commitment to South Korea, support for denuclearization of North Korea, and a strong military presence to stabilize the region. The discussions were frank and very cordial. South Korean officials reaffirmed our friendship and alliance. We also then went to the DMZ. We had a tour of the U.S. command and were briefed extensively by General Vincent Brooks, the top commander in South Korea. Now I'm ready for questions. Do you want to call the names?
Amy Meyer with Iowa Public Radio.
Thank you for taking my question, Senator. I'm curious, having just come back from China during this week when they're imposing new tariffs, what would your response be to farmers who are saying, look, we supported President Trump even though we were concerned about his trade policies, and now it seems ag is getting used as kind of a, almost like a pawn in a trade war. What would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, what I told President Trump to his face, along with a meeting with about 10 or 12 other senators, that you got to be pretty cautious. I'm not saying you can't get a better deal, but it's very tricky, and you could be on a slippery slope. And when you're on a slippery slope, you are going to find that agriculture is one of the first things that is going to be retaliated against. So in regard to the steel and aluminum, they've already announced 126 different products. They announced 126 products that they're going to levy tariffs against. And a lot of those products are different agricultural products. Some of them, like ethanol and pork, affecting the state of Iowa. And all I can say is that maybe in one respect, maybe Trump is making some progress, because in the case of steel tariffs on South Korea, and they weren't letting very many of our cars into South Korea, they have agreed to let more cars into South Korea. So maybe it might work, but I'm very cautious, and I would be doing everything I can to see that things don't hurt agriculture in the United States generally, but specifically Iowa.
We'll go to Kara Hart from Red River Farm Network.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask a little bit more about conversations with Terry Branstad, to ask what his take was on all of this, Senator Grassley.
Well, he did make statements at our meetings, but mostly it was for the five senators to interact with the Chinese officials, not Governor Branstad. But when he did speak, he spoke about the one China policy, which involves the U.S. relationships with Taiwan, which China doesn't want us to have any relationships with Taiwan. But under the Taiwan resolution of 1979, we have certain responsibilities towards Taiwan, and the president's got to enforce them, but it's kind of a balancing act. But he did want to assure the country of China that we were not going to be recognizing Taiwan as an independent country. We consider them part of China, but we also consider that we have a special relationship with him. Now, I think those are the only two things that I heard him speak at our meetings. But he met with some of us privately, and we had some discussions. And he is committed to, with his friendship to President Xi, to try to represent the views of Iowa business. Well, not just Iowa, because he's our ambassador, so the entire country, on these whole issues of difficulty between China and the United States. And I think I just got the impression he's very much committed to preserving the economic strength of the United States, just like when he was governor of Iowa for 22 years. He traveled all over the world to promote Iowa products and to and the extent to which it created jobs in the state of Iowa. He's doing that now for the nation as a whole. And when he had such a good record as governor of Iowa, I think we're going to find him very successful in representing our interests before China.
And just a follow-up to that, did you have a chance to connect with Tom Vilsack while you were in China as well?
No, but I was with a I was with one of our, now I forget which one of the five cities this was, but wherever we were one day, the consul general of that city, in other words, that's like an assistant ambassador in a specific city representing the United States government, he said, I'm going to be meeting with Vilsack tomorrow. And I said, well, tell Vilsack hi, and that I appreciated very much what he did to represent ethanol interest as Secretary of Agriculture during the 8 years that he was Secretary of Agriculture. But I did not run into Vilsack, but he was going to be there with that guy the next day.
Before we take our next question, we've got someone breathing on the line. If you could please, if you're not asking a question, press #5. Chris Clayton.
Senator, when the discussions with China, how much of the focus was on trade issues, and did you get any indication that, you know, there may be even further tariffs that might be placed on products, you know, particularly soybeans, obviously, since it's our major commodity going over there?
Let me answer the last question. I think without a doubt, when this president, through our trade representative, presents cases against China before the World Trade Organization, and sometimes it takes a couple years for those decisions to be made. But if there's decisions made against China, and China doesn't want to comply, then they can take action, and they've indicated that soybeans would be one of the things that they'd take action against in regard to those WTO requests. But soybeans isn't on the list of the 128 that we've had so far. In regard to the first question, you know, we talk about trade, and I'd like to say almost 100% of the conversation we had with provincial and national leaders of China was all about trade. But maybe you don't consider intellectual property, patents, and trademark discussions falling into that category. But it ought to, because those are violations of the China being in the WTO, and whether it's both they're stealing and not paying for the intellectual property, or whether they are putting pressure on American businesses to share trade secrets with China if they're going to do business in China. I consider all of those, in addition to you know, aluminum and steel and China subsidizing their exports, I consider those all trade issues. And they fall into the category of tariff and non-tariff trade barriers. So I would say with the provincial and government leaders, almost 100% of it was trade outside of Taiwan and North Korea, as an example. I would say that we had meetings with a lot of big Chinese businesses while we were there. Some of those things got into things other than just trade and more their relationship with their government or how they respond to their government in regard to how those businesses interact with the U.S. businesses.
Go to Dave Pitt from the AP.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So, Senator, your constituents are getting hit pretty hard here. You know, I've been talking to hog farmers in the last few days, and also soybean farmers are really worried. So I guess my question would be to you, are you okay with them getting hit as hard as they think they're going to get hit? I mean, we're already hearing farmers regretting their support for President Trump, or at least, you know, expressing their concern. So I guess I don't hear your party or you standing up really firmly standing for farmers and saying this is going to hit them hard, and I don't know if we agree with the tack that's being taken here. So that's my question.
I think I expressed that, if you were on, when I said about the meeting we had at the White House 5 weeks ago before this even went into effect. That's where we're standing up for farmers hard, and not only Chuck Grassley, but Joni Ernst was not at the meeting I was at, but 2 weeks before that, she was at the meeting expressing the same views, and so that's my answer to your question. And so the answer is, to your original question, would be one word, no.
Dirk Steimel.
Okay. All right. Senator, is there a feeling among that you got among Chinese officials there that they're concerned about getting enough soybeans if there's some barriers to soybeans from the United States?
Not a single one of them stated that.
Joe Morton. From Omaha World Herald.
Thanks. Thanks for doing the call, Senator. Just to go back a little bit, I mean, so you guys have had all these meetings with President Trump and urged him to be careful on trade. Still trying to understand, do you think he's being careful enough? Is he doing a good job on trade? And if you guys don't like what he's doing, what recourse do you have on Capitol Hill to try and affect the direction of these things if he doesn't listen to you?
Yeah, time will tell in answer to your first question. Except for getting back to what Mr. Pitt asked me, and your So I'm just going back to that as well as answering your question. You know, we've had these meetings with the president, but over a period of 12 months, we've met with Lighthizer, Ross, Cohn when he was still in the White House, and with Peter Navarro. We've expressed for 12 months these views to the president or through his people. Probably maybe 10 meetings I've participated in that period of time. I don't keep track of every meeting, but just lots and lots of meetings where we've had a chance to do it, plus directly with the president. So then that only time is going to tell in regard to that. But besides those meetings, several have sent letters to the White House expressing our views. You give speeches on the floor of the United States Senate in regard to some of these issues. When Lighthizer was before our Finance Committee a week ago, or now maybe 2 weeks ago, this was the point of not only my discussions, my questions to Lighthizer, but most of the members on the Republican side of the committee made the same points about the slippery slope on trade and the nervousness that it creates for agriculture. And then the other part of your question for Omaha is the president has the authority under law to do what he has done on steel and aluminum in the 1963 Trade Act that was passed before Kennedy was assassinated. And that gives the president the power when he feels that national security is in jeopardy, to put on tariffs that would protect American industry. So the president looked at the fact that the steel mills are shut down. Some steel mills are shut down. Some aluminum mills are shut down. And steel and aluminum are very, the domestic production of steel and aluminum are very important to our national security if we were to ramp up for war, and that's why he put them on. Now, the only thing we can do is change the 1963 Act. Now, there's a couple things that we're thinking Senator Brown and I are doing in regard to national security, and not only national security, but economic security, is to give the Commission on Foreign Investment, which is a commission made up of cabinet heads of five or six different departments, but it's housed in the Department of Treasury. We're trying to give that commission more authority to step in when some of these trade issues affect United States business, even beyond national security.